All right. It's 11:17. It's 11:17. We're going to reconvene the meeting. Thank you for that. On to item number 29, which is discussion of possible action. Update discussion and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but never limited to the following. SB 69, SB 78, AB 77, AB 32. Bill supported by the Nevada Association of Counties, bill proposed by the governor and legislative leadership since the last board meeting, and bill shown in attached spreadsheet showing the past and current possible positions. You had a lot of breakfast that morning, didn't you?
All right.
Where'd you go?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. Also with me is Will Adler from SSGR, and Helen Foley from Helen Foley and Associates. She is with Helen Foley Public Affairs. They are with us as our principal lobbyists on various matters. So we're taking a little different approach this time, a little bit of organization. We prepared for all of the bills to be in front of you in a little bit of a graph. And you can see all of the action that this board has given staff and our lobbyists since the beginning of the legislative session. SB 69, of course, is included in there. And it shows the position that this board has taken, as well as the position that NACO, Nevada Association of Counties, has taken. NACO has not really taken a position on all bills, so if you see a blank, that's why. And of course, a little summary of what the bills are. So we know that you had a chance to take a look at this graph, and we can certainly talk about any of these bills today. If this board would like to just continue providing the same direction to staff and lobbyists as has, then this graph would apply as you see it. And then any adjustments you make, of course, would be the case. I also want to provide Will and Helen an opportunity maybe to talk a little bit about other legislative matters that maybe they're experiencing down in the building in Carson City that may be added to this chart as necessary. So before I give a very short, brief discussion of SB 69, I ask if you have any questions about any other bills in this matrix.
Thank you for that, Austin. I must say that this new setup, I personally appreciate very much. So thank you for that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
None, thank you.
Ms. Sherman?
No, I think I'm all right. And I would just maybe ask, does it make sense going forward if just to leave these in place? As we know, there's no bill is really dead till it's really dead. And so with the chance that maybe some that did not meet deadlines come back, maybe we just leave them on here just in case when we have taken a position on something.
Absolutely. And if you like, Mr. Chairman, I'll give a very brief kind of an overview of SB 69. I do believe Helen and Will also have some things they'd like to share and discuss that a little bit more in depth. If you want, I'll just go ahead and kick it off. At that point, give a little bit of where we are. Senate Bill 69, our bill, got a work session last Thursday, and it passed the work session. It was a split vote. Neil, who's the chair, Dunyate, who's the vice chair, and Cruz Crawford did approve it, and Stone and Steinbeck did not. If I understand right, there was a caveat to that, that they may change a position on the floor, so it's not completely, opposition necessarily, but nevertheless, a majority of the committee approved it. As amended, of course, we did present with a government services agreement mandatory if the county would tell GOED it needs it, would be at 10% and 20% respective to the $1 billion and the $3.5 billion abatements. The retroactive period of abatement can only go back to the fiscal year in which that contract was approved by GOED, so there was a good compromise between the parties on that. We removed data centers entirely. I thank Jana and others on our team for really working administratively to come up with some resolution to that. And we removed sections 4 and 8 for stuff that really didn't apply to us. So it was noted by Chair Neal. She said that Story County really went over and beyond to try to bridge gaps between different parties in building this bill and getting it amended to be a amenable bill on the floor. At this point, I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Adler. He may want to elaborate a little bit on this, and then Ms. Foley as well. Thank you.
Yeah, we can elaborate on a few bills, but Will Adler, for the record, with Silver State Government Relations, Here representing Story County. So this year has actually been, Manager Osborne did allude, a bit of a back and forth and a lot of work to actually get SB 69 to the place we did. But I would say the kudos given by the chair of the committee, Senator Dina Neal, really spoke to the efforts we put forth, and she really wanted to put it on the record for us that this bill didn't come to the state it was in through some magic, but actually through the hard work of Story County taking the lead and not taking the nose from the plentiful opposition that GOED helped provide. But I do think the bill's in a good place. I've had a couple of post meetings with Senate Republicans and the Democrats, and I do know that Senator Cannizzaro and others appreciate the effort we put forward, and they're looking forward to actually having a good floor vote. Just process-wise and sort of put people's minds together on it, we put together a conceptual amendment that laid out all of our priorities for the committee hearing, but LCB, or the Legislative Council Bureau of the Nevada Legislature, does have to rework that into a final work session, post-work session amendment that will be the introduced amendment for the floor vote. So I think that'll take a little while. Our bill is one of the more complex bills, but two of the less complex bills that I'm also working on did just come out today, this morning, from those drafters. So I think maybe by the end of the week we'll actually have that document in hand and be able to say this is the firm and final bill post-amending. I'm not sure if...
Thank you. Helen Foley with Foley Public Affairs for the record. I have to say that Story County, certainly Will and Austin, and you as members of the commission have done an extraordinary job on this bill. There was a lot of opposition to begin with. You took a look at what you really needed. We took out the data centers. We took out areas where there was confusion over state funding and state accountability where we didn't need to participate. But there is such a difference between Clark and Washoe counties and the rural areas, especially when you have projects that are $1 billion and $3.5 billion. Let's remove ourselves from the discussion for a moment and think about what would happen to a small county like Esmeralda County if, with lithium, all of a sudden they had a $3.5 billion project. How on earth would they ever be able to afford to do the things that have to be done for infrastructure, for fire safety, for police protection? We were very fortunate in Story County that we had the TRI, Gilman and Norman setting where they could help you out. But when you have to lose funding for 15 years for your tax abatements on property, or 10 years, and then another 20, for the sales tax, it's almost impossible. So I think a lot of people realize that this bill is extremely reasonable. When you have a Clark and a Washoe County, you also have planning commissions that can impose standards on new projects. But with the small counties, you end up in a real bind. So I think the media attention on this, the legislators that we've talked to, it's going extremely well. And I think that we will continue to work with Republican lawmakers so that we don't have the division of parties on this bill, because we certainly want the governor's signature on this, but we also want buy-in by those Republican lawmakers.
Thank you, Helen.
Mr. Chairman, can I get up on my soapbox for a minute?
Please.
I just wanted to mention something that's come to mind about this bill. You know, a lot of people are looking at it as a defensive bill or a change to keep harm from happening, but I want to highlight that where we've landed with this bill actually creates better policy, because putting the discussion about what a local jurisdiction is going to ask for in offsets early in the process provides better predictability for a company that's applying for abatements. And that's actually a better way of doing business, because if that has to wait till after they have contractually agreed to the abatement contract, they don't know what they're going to be asked for. So not only do we put it earlier in the process so that it's running concurrent with GOED doing their work, but also we have proposed to cap that amount so they're given some predictability on how much, and gave guardrails about what specific areas could be negotiated. And they will be negotiating fully in that whole process. So this is actually an improvement on the way the current process works. And it makes me wonder if the fact that this is how we have done things and the fact that it's not the way that other jurisdictions have done things is the reason why these large projects have only landed in our jurisdiction. Anyway, I'll get down off my soapbox.
All good. Thank you.
Will Adler with Silver Sacred Relations. But yeah, to comment on Commissioner Mitchell's comments there, you know, bad ideas kind of mumble along through the legislature, but true expertise kind of sing, right? And I do think you guys are sharing your expertise in the abatement programs and what it means to actually deal with these larger companies on the ground, as no other place in Nevada has actually done this before. And I'm not going to speak out of turn, but I would say that our expertise were greater than even the state agencies like GOED and others when it came to the real impacts and the real trigger mechanisms that are in place. So I'm really proud of what we did on our abatement, just because we didn't overdo it and we didn't remake the wheel. We actually took the same mechanisms, enhanced those, and made a better piece of public policy around the abatement program and how it interacts with all local governments. Pretty proud to say that. So hopefully, yes, like you said, that will be seen by the governor and his team, and we've already gotten some good notes back. So I think that SB 69, in spite of sort of the split vote at the committee level, will do pretty well from here. But once we have that final amendment, I'll get it to everybody. Another bill that we're very frequently speaking about is SB 116, the county pay bill. That bill is in much the same state. It actually got its final conceptual amendment at the work session. That is a pay bill, so it is a very mechanistically difficult to write. So actually, I did hear from the sponsor of the bill, Skip Daly, today. And he said that is due from drafting sometime this week. He thinks about Thursday, but he thinks most of the mechanisms are there and the bones of the bill will be the same. And that looks great going towards the floor. Another bill that we had some interest in was SB 78, the board consolidation bill that was amended and due passed out of its work session. I do think the amendment has some play in it still. And I do know we had some interest in that, but we also have some in-county conversations around our own district that of note there. Another bill that's sort of adjacent to that and rail related is SB 364, was the rail spur GOED abatement bill, which sort of says you can dedicate funds towards the development of a rail spur, but you can also get an abatement for those funds dedicated, similar to like a Tesla program. That bill too had a lot of back and forth on it, but it did have an amended due pass from Senate Revenue. The amendment did limit the particular rail property abatements to 1 foot in each direction of the rail track. So it kind of puts some parameters on what could be abated, and it's mechanistically, again, kind of hard to explain, but there's some ability to see more rail developed for industrial use in Nevada, and that's kind of the goal here, but we're watching that pretty closely. Another one in the same kind of lane is AB 256, which is the rail study. And it passed amended out of committee with Clark and Washoe counties as the focus for, you know, ongoing regional rail development. So I think it's more about commuter rail and or, you know, transportation rather than, you know, big, you know, manufacturing-based rail. The other bill that we had a lot of interest in was AB 128, which was the public records ombudsman bill. That did pass amended out of committee, but the amendment did delete the creation of the public records ombudsman, and it sort of neutered the bill down to making a study about public records. So we're going to study what is or isn't the Attorney General's place around public records. So that bill seems to be reduced to a point of less offense. AB 66 is the district judge bill. It was amended and due passed from the Assembly Judiciary. Again, it makes various changes around district court judges and additional judge for the first district, Story and Carson City are in there as well. So another note, though, it is still waiting for the governor's economic development bill to come out, just because some of that is in flux. But, you know, we don't know what is in the governor's economic development bill. It's immune from deadlines, so we haven't even seen the language to some of these bills. But that was sort of our tracking list and the ones that we know got through, but we were interested in. And then we have a good list of bills that did not make it, that, as Austin Osborne declared, you know, we see some language in those that we want to keep track of, because other bills that are opening the same NRS or Nevada revised statute can be amended to have that same language dropped into it in several cases. So some bad bills we are keeping our eyes on, even though they're dead, they might reinvigorate themselves in a zombie-like form in a new bill. So we'll keep on that from here on out.
Helen Foley, for the record. Now that Will has discussed everything I was going to talk about, I've always got a couple of more things. A few of the bills that died, AB 33, which created a Nevada Office of Inspector General, and then you remember when the mayor of Sparks wanted a toll road demonstration project, AB 61, that failed to meet the deadline. There was another one, Assembly Bill 173, which requires judicial candidates to list political party on financial disclosures. There was AB 180, a multi-jurisdictional business license for sidewalk vendors that could affect Virginia City. And then Senate Bill 51, which reimburses local governments for subsidized affordable housing. One of the bills that did pass that will continue to take a close look at is AB 355, which is a rural school district capital improvements fund. So if there are funds available, they do not have to revert back to the general fund at the end of a year. And that was amended and do pass. So we'll carefully watch that. And of course, the infamous V&T Railway is still alive and will probably pass. I'm not sure what that eventual outcome will be, but it's been a bit problematic. Watching that Senate Bill 78, which is the Boards and Commission Bill, it was discussed in some form 16 times in different committees during the session. It's a 92-page bill. And so there's an awful lot in there. We think sometimes we're safe, and then you look and think, oh, dear, let's see what kinds of amendments have been added to that. So that's one that we'll carefully watch between now and the end of the session.
And commissioners, one last point I want to make, Austin Osborne, for the record, on SB 78. We know that so far that bill is no longer applying to the Comstock Historic District per our concerns of earlier. Mr. Adler did allude to that. We're having conversations with the state about possible resolutions to the Comstock Historic District in the future. Those conversations are still going on between us, Lyon County, as well as DCNR and other state agencies. We think it's a potential that item could be resolved and actually potential transfer if the boards and folks all are able to agree to it sometime during the interim session. Those sorts of things are being looked at right now. So I want to give you an update on that. That's, I believe, at this time all we have.
Okay. How many commissioners?
I think Mr. Chairman, Clerk Treasurer Hindle would like to come up, please.
Jim Hindle, Clerk and Treasurer. A couple more just to put on your radar. You're probably thinking about them, but the first one is AJR1, which is the property tax reset bill that made it out of committee, correct? And if I'm following, the issue there is that it will change, and it poses because of what it's going to do in terms of creating classes of property tax caps and abatements, and the periods at which something can be capped and the period at which it can't be capped. It has significant challenges to our current property tax system. The DevNet system is not able to track that at this time. And I believe GSA has a similar issue talking to other counties. So as this progresses through, we as treasurers within the counties are highlighting to the legislature that this poses some significant challenges for us to manage if it does go through. And it can't be something that comes effective July 1 or even probably July 1 of 26 because of the system challenges and the overall procedural issues we have in managing that. The other ones that I wanted to highlight are in particular three election bills that came up last Tuesday for their hearing, and then the work session was last Friday. The first one is AB 491. In that, it for the most part, it deals with filing and residency requirements for candidates. But in Section 1 was a very nice little section, a nice little clause that made it so that county clerks must reply to the Secretary of State for any requests for election information within 48 hours. That's 48 clock hours, not 2 business days, etc. The clerks have multiple reasons to be concerned with this, but first and foremost is because we generally get multiple requests from the Secretary of State's office concurrent, and all those have to now be 48 hours. It has significant impact on our ability to run elections if we're trying to address their questions versus running the election at the same time. The other thing that this, and I'll make this a little more of an insidious issue, is that in SB 100, the Secretary of State and the AG have laid out, and I know this was amended slightly, but basically if a county clerk does not respond within deadline, they can remove them. So now you've got a deadline that is somewhat innocuous to what goes on to run an election, 48 hours, clock hours, and if we aren't responsive to what the Secretary of State wants, they can go forward with penalties and it becomes jail time for the county clerk. And I think that still made it through in SB 100. So we have grave concerns with AB 491. The other one to highlight is AB 496, which has to do with mail ballots and tracking and reporting. The county clerks have big concern, and we've gone on record with a letter on the bills that I'm going to highlight here. But they expect us to contact the United States Post Office to daily report the mail ballots in possession of the post office. And my editorial comment was that this was made by somebody who has no operation in elections that said that this is a no-brainer. You can contact the post office. That, among other things, in terms of our daily reporting of mail ballot status, provisional ballot status, ballot cure status, and the requirement that we need to post this on our website, have big implications on activity within the clerk's office during an election. And then the last one I'm going to highlight for you, we have a couple more, but the last one I'm going to highlight for you that we, as county clerks, developed a letter and put it into the Legislative Operations Committee, and we're going to do it again now that these bills have passed out and when they go to the Senate floor, is AB 499. And this ostensibly had to do with adding steps to allow voters to put personal identifying information, the wording said, on their ballot, which would be illegal because you can't identify a ballot to a specific voter. You can only identify the envelope coming back in to a voter. But it requires us to implement new barcode tracking, having ballots printed in a way that we kind of do already, but the information they want. But again, more importantly, they require every county clerk to establish a voter service portal that would allow a person to go in and look at their specific, on our website, their specific voter registration information. And part of that voter registration information is going to be the full identifying height, weight, eye color, et cetera, that the DMV puts on a driver's license. And we are now expected to update our voter registration system for all voters based on the DMV personal identifying characteristics, some of which really have no impact on tracking a voter and getting their mail ballot processed. And so those are really increasing, the communication we say it's increasing burden on the county clerks at a time when it's already busy, resources are already tight, our budgets are already tight, and they're putting more activity during the election cycle. And then when you go back to AB 491 and these things have a specific deadline, it's kind of creating an adversarial relationship between the county clerks and the Secretary of State. So we are tracking those. We are, as a association, the clerks and election officials, trying to meet and talk to as many people, but if you keep your eyes on those and hear something and can help us out, we would appreciate that, because it's really kind of putting clerks in an untenable situation during the election cycle. Sorry, I was long on that.
Yeah. May I ask, Clerk Kendall, would it be helpful, separate from what the Clerks Association is doing, I mean, would it be helpful for us to take an official position opposing some of these bills? I think that it makes sense to do so if my fellow commissioners feel that that's appropriate, just to register our feeling that this would put an undue burden on county operations.
That would certainly help us going forward, and as well as provide direction to you if it comes up in other discussions, to provide Will and Helen, as well as yourselves, the ability to respond with confidence that you're not talking with unofficial approval.
Yeah, great. And so I would propose that we look at least AB 491, which has to do with the election filing requirements and notification at requests of the clerk, as well as AB 496, which is, if I remember correctly, is unreasonable expectation to get post office updates. And then I don't know if we want to add SB 100 in there, but that we take...
I would ask you to add SB 100 in there in terms of the... I am questioning, and we really don't want it tested, but whether the AG and the Secretary of State can remove a duly elected individual from office and actually remove them, not just take the duties away, but remove them from office. But that's what's being proposed in SB 100.
To me, these feel like overreach and placing a burden on us, and so I would propose that we take a position in opposition with these bills, and then ask our team to monitor. And certainly, if things are amended and changed, we can revisit that.
And I can propose, I will forward to the commissioners as well as the two of you, Austin, and the letter we submitted to the committee that. We didn't really say we were against these bills, but we proposed amendments that would make them more effective and more amenable to the clerks to be able to manage.
Sure. And I think that's the appropriate stance for the clerks to take. I think from our position, we may not have that luxury, because if we don't agree with the bill as written, then we're in a position of opposition. And so
Right. We're
not subject matter experts to propose a better solution for those. And so... to me, it feels like the right solution is for those three, which would be AB 491, SB 100, and AB 496, to take a position in opposition. And so I don't know if that's okay with my other commissioners. If so, I think we can put that on the record. So when we get to the time, if we are, I don't want to speak out of turn, but if we're united in that, then I think that's direction that we could give. In addition to that, I was wondering about both AJR1, which is the reset on sale, and AB 499, which is asking for identifying info, which ironically sounds a lot like info that you'd see on a driver's license if you were checking IDs as people are voting. But I'm wondering if there's a way to quantify the additional burden into a fiscal note, because I think that would be a helpful way to respond that would show the impact of the proposed policy change.
And I think there are fiscal notes on the bill related to that bill. I'll go back and review those, but there was fiscal impact that was communicated to the committee.
Okay. Yeah.
But to my understanding, there's no appropriation link to these bills whatsoever, even with those fiscal impacts in the counties.
Right. So, you know, we have been asked in several different quarters to be more active in providing fiscal notes specific to us.
Right.
I know sometimes it's hard to quantify, but if we can get somewhere in the ballpark that's reasonable and submit a fiscal note specific to us, I think that would be helpful. If not, totally understandable. But I think... to me, that would feel like a good way to show the potential impact, because we don't have systems in place currently that can handle those, and because it would be an unfunded mandate to upgrade our systems to provide those things if there's a way that we can at least get some sort of ballpark and submit it.
I'll just add that all three of these bills are Speaker Yeager's, as he is the primary sponsor. So as politically sensitive to other things that will be going through the Assembly, manage that as appropriate.
Sure. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Will Adler, for the record. I do fully agree with the ideas from Commissioner Mitchell to actually quantify some of the impacts from these bills and then put out the word to NACO to do much the same, because I do think collectively kind of showing the unfundedness of these bills really does demonstrate what the cost would be. And again, you're not trying to offend the idea or the sponsor of a bill, but you have to show the cost and what the cost will be to the county. And that's really the best way to sort of document and oppose these things, because you aren't able to cover the cost of them. Just briefly on AJR 1, sort of the property tax, bill coming to the legislature this year, AJR is Assembly Joint Resolution. So just to explain that briefly, the resolution has to pass the legislature this time around, come through again. It can get briefly amended a little, but really the same language intact has to be passed again at the next legislature. So the 2017 legislature, or 2027 legislature, has to pass the same language, and then it would have to go to the voters in 2028, and it would have to pass there again. So it's good to get our comments in now, but this language isn't going to, take a trigger immediately, and we should sort of be able to eye in the impacts. But it'd probably be good to have a study around what is the value of property taxes and changing those, what the impacts would be. So just explain that a little. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll have some little emotion.
I don't have anything else, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record. I can help navigate you through the motion if you like.
I'll let you work with Vice Chairman. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any other questions?
I don't. Thank you.
Vice Chairman, anything?
I had just two others, and this is kind of coming back around to ones that we've already discussed. But one is on AB 32, which is the V&T Railway Study Bill. I believe we did take an official position supporting. That's not reflected on the matrix, and so I just wanted to make sure we have those aligned. To provide just a little more context, that bill did pass out of its initial committee. There was a fiscal note on it, but it was... It was impossible to determine what the fiscal impact might be. There was some concerns expressed that there is a limited amount of resources available for interim studies, and that there was some hesitation as a result, and so there were some questions raised in the money committee about, wasn't this brought to the last interim? Didn't we deal with this before this session? And that I was supporting in that presentation caught me a little flat-footed, because I barely remember anything before this session, frankly. But that was an informational presentation that Carson City and me in my role as a railway commissioner made about the Railway Commission, and some policy ideas were presented, but there was no guidance given or no feedback given from the legislature. And so there's some further work to be done. It is Carson City's bill, so they're running lead on that, talking with those who expressed some concerns about it going ahead. And so that's kind of where things stand. I have supported them in what I feel is an appropriate way, meaning not taking the lead on it because it is their bill, but given that we are kind of the other local jurisdiction involved in that, and my assignment to the Railway Commission, I've been involved from that perspective in kind of a supporting role. And if it's all right, we'll continue to do so, just because that, if I'm not there, the first question that always comes up is, what does Story County think about this? And so that allows us to have a seat at the table and to highlight where there are differences between kind of how we see things and how Carson City sees things. And there are a few things that are slightly different there. So that's the one. The other one is, Will, you mentioned that there was potentially an amendment with SB 364, which has to do with rail abatements for rail projects. I have some concerns as far as the way that bill is structured. I'm wondering if that abatement, that amendment is something that makes us feel a little more comfortable, or if it would be appropriate for us to move to an opposition as written, pending further amendment to that bill.
Will Adler, for the record, I do think that bill has become more palatable with the amendment, but I think it's off to the fiscal committees now. I think it's headed to them. Some bills go directly from their first policy committee. They get work sessioned and out the door to the floor vote, and that's what we're doing with SB 69. But this one actually has such fiscal impacts, I think it's headed to Ways and Means, I do believe. So I do think that's maybe where that bill comes to the real, policy meets money sort of decision there. And is this actually a good fiscal use of Nevada tax dollars to make these abatements happen? I think that conversation's to come. So I think, yeah, there's times to lead into opposition, but I'll give the bill its due and actually write up a new assessment of it after the amendment, because I only gave it a brief review, if that's fair. And then, yeah, I think it's fair to cautiously say we could file an opposition opinion as needed on this one, but we'll determine if that's fully needed. I'll give it a full reassessment.
Great. If my fellow commissioners are okay with that, I think that sounds to me like an appropriate course to take. Maybe soft opposition, not leading the charge on opposing, but expressing concern for sure.
That works.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I don't.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any public comment. Are you prepared to make a motion, Vice Chairman?
I think so. County Manager Osborne, do you want to summarize, or are you feeling good about what was discussed?
I think taking the existing motion and incorporating all discussions herewith might be sufficient.
Okay. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff and lobbyists to represent Story County on known BDRs, bills, and other potential legislation affecting Story County as discussed on the record during our meeting today.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Will. Austin.
Thank you both.
All right, moving on to item number 30, discussion for possible action. Second reading of business licenses A through R. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions on the second readings?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the second readings? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 30 as A through R.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Excuse me. On to item number 31. This is public comment. The second final time public comment will be taken in this meeting. Is there any public comment today? Not seeing any, we're going to move right along to item number 32, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:55. This meeting is adjourned. We'll see you all in May. And we do have closed session, so I ask that you vacate the courtroom at your earliest convenience.